want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. On your mark, get set, go. Here we go with another week. And do want to remind you, be very careful out there with the school zones and things like that. A lot of times after summer break, when you're used to driving through those areas that you are able to go the full speed and now it's a school zone, sometimes that can escape your attention. And I want to be a blessing to your pocketbook today, your wallet. And that's not by adding more things into it. It's to try and help you to keep from things flying out of there to pay a speeding ticket that you don't want to pay. So as you're driving through those school zones, make sure that you pray for the teachers, the students, and that God would move in our county among the young people. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you today. I'm talking about the Word of God in Romans chapter 13. We're going to be going back there in verse number 8, probably touching a little bit on some of the things that we had shared on Friday's program, but also going a little bit different direction there with the same verse. But I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. For over five decades, they've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs in air conditioning and heating issues. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. Dennis is a pastor in Central Florida, up off State Road 46 in Geneva. He preaches the Word. He loves the Word, and he brings the values of the Word to their business. They operate with a great deal of integrity and competency. They work in residential settings and light commercial settings. They even provide emergency service when necessary. I had sent a text message to Dennis here a couple of weeks ago, and he was describing how hot it had been and the amount of work that they had been doing. And I know how long it takes to do some of that stuff, and that means they were putting in a lot of hours. They really strive to take care of their customers. And if you're a customer, you want to make sure that the people who are servicing your equipment are not trying to pull a fast one on you. Wyrick Air is not interested in doing that. They are interested in providing a great service at the best possible price. They may be a great resource for you. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout Brevard County. Their license number is CAC1821309. They are friends of the Refresh Radio program, and we are thankful that they take care of our AC issues at church. They take care of my AC issues at home. They are a great blessing to the Refresh Radio program, and we bless them in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, says this: "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And we, on Friday, I believe it was, we were talking about the fact that, you know, that we're not supposed to live in debt, that the borrower is servant to the lender. And so I want to talk to you about the relational dynamics that we have in our lives. So as I was preparing to come in to the radio studio this morning, I was thinking about what happens when a bill is paid off. So when your mortgage is paid off, how do you respond to that? Well, churches a lot of times will have a mortgage burning ceremony. They're like, hallelujah, you know, that monthly payment that has gone on for decades and decades is finally resolved, and it's cause for celebration. And you know what they won't do at that point in time? They will not continue to send that mortgage lender. They won't continue to send them money because the debt obligation has been resolved. And so that relationship is not a relationship based on love, but it is a relationship that is based upon obligation or debt. It's the dynamic of debt. And that's not supposed to be the basis of our relationship with God, and it's not supposed to be the basis for our relationship with other people. And so I remember there were times when our kids were growing up that, you know, they were in their teens, needed things, and they were, well, it's, some of them were needs, some of them were wants. And so I had financial abilities that they did not have. And so there were times when I said, okay, you know, we will help you with this, but this is your obligation. And in doing that, I learned along the way that there were times where when I looked at them, even though they were my children and I loved them, there were times I was like, okay, I need you to remember the financial obligation that you have. And so for our kids, we had this growth process where they shifted from being dependent upon mom and dad's finances to being able to be dependent for their own finances. And, you know, I've heard stories through the years. I remember one guy telling me one time that on his children's 18th birthday, he said, "Oh, okay, here's what the reality is. Starting next week, you're gonna be paying us rent." And there are all sorts of different systems out there. I would tell you, pray, have discussions with your kids. You know, Dave Ramsey's probably got resources as to help you navigate that process. But you know, we want our children to grow, but we don't want our relationship with our kids to deteriorate to where it is just a debt obligation instead of a dynamic of love. So when it says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another," you need to understand that wherever there's that, how do I want to say it? It's not an equivalent standing. And so by that I mean, if you owe taxes to the government and the government says you owe this amount of money, it's not going to be a level playing field. They can do all sorts of financial things to you to make sure that you fulfill that obligation and they can even do things worse than that. So you can end up in court because, as Pastor Bernie from River of Life has said, and I don't remember where he heard it, but it's wisdom that he has shared for years, and that is, where there is much law, there is little love, and where there is much love, there's not need for much law. And so a law comes along and it mandates how the debt that is owed is going to be resolved. And so I have this saying, and that is this, that in my experience, every time the government has come and said, hey, this is what we're going to do to help you, I start grabbing for my wallet because I know it's getting ready to cost me. And I've said that when I was working for minimum wage, and they are not operating out of the kindness of their heart. I don't care what they say about their motivations. A lot of what is done is about power. It is about control. It is about making things happen that they want to happen, whether you like it or not. And I'm not talking about one particular party there. I'm talking about politics as a whole. And a lot of things that government propagates, especially in certain parts of the country, are things that are unbiblical, ungodly, and they don't say, well, you know, if you like this, you know, just don't participate. Government is very much into the mandate issue, and so that's why people don't necessarily like or love and appreciate the style of government. You know, the Bible says if there's righteous government, that the people are blessed, and if the unrighteous are, and that standard of righteousness is not whether or not they are in alignment with your desires and your will, it's about whether or not they're in alignment with the principles of God. So you want to make sure that the government that we elect aligns with the values of God's word, and not a redefined lifestyle the way that the world has it. So I want to bring this into an area that is a little bit more than finances. So if you go into the military, there is rank, and there are various ranks, and there are people who will salute other people because of their rank, not because of how much they appreciate them. It would be nice if everybody conducted themselves in a certain way that you could honor and appreciate them. But, you know, in all honesty, the armed forces are designed to train you to be prepared for the worst situations possible so that you will have muscle and mental memory, so you will respond, so that you will have a successful outcome both for yourself and for those around you. So if you enlist in the military, they're going to send you to boot camp, and boot camp is not a resort. It's not a place where they're going to, you know, make you feel comfortable and all that sort of stuff. And I don't want a military that's like that. I want people who are trained to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's what I'm looking for. They're trained to protect and to carry out the mission. But what about our other relationships? And again, there may be great resources that are out there. So if we're not careful, our normal relationships can become more obligatory and not based on compassion or not based upon love. So I don't want to go to church because I have to go to church. I want to go to church because I love going to church. I don't want to be married to my wife because I have to be married to my wife. I'm married to my wife because I love my wife. And so here, a couple of weeks ago, she had a couple of days off. There were reasons, not all of it was fun and games or anything like that. So that meant that we got to spend some time together that we ordinarily don't get to spend that time together. And after, let's see, several days, probably 4 or 5 days, there was a long weekend, there was church, and then there was a conversation that we were having on Monday night. Again, this is a couple of weeks ago. I had been presented a questionnaire for a game night we were having at the church. And I'm sitting there, and it was, you know, how well do you know your pastor? Well, I had been asked to look at it and fill it out, and honestly, some of the questions made me have to sit there and do some evaluation. And so one night we were sitting there and we were talking, and I asked her the questions that they, you know, asked me. And then I said, okay, my turn. And I flipped the questions and I began to ask her the questions. And the truth of the matter was that even though we've been married for decades, that there were questions that were on there. And I was like, really? I didn't know that. And so one of them, what's your favorite book in the Bible? And she guessed mine. I didn't guess hers. I was like, really? I didn't know that. You know, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite worship song or praise song or hymn? What's that? And what we realized as we were sitting there talking, we weren't talking because, okay, I got a problem, I got to solve this problem. We were sitting there having a conversation because we love one another, and it was helping us to understand what was going on in each other's hearts. And in all honesty, when I got done with that, I was so thankful for that conversation. I was saying, you know, I wonder what would happen in our marriages as Christians if we asked one another the questions, hey, what is your favorite Bible verse? What is your favorite Bible promise? And in some of those, for instance, when they asked me, you know, what my favorite song was, well, I've got different answers to that. For different reasons, and. You know, it can really help to explain and bring context. So one of the questions is, what's your favorite Bible promise? Well, if you want to know my theological promise, I live each day loving the fact that Jesus is preparing a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also, and that he will come for us because he wants us to be with him. That is a great theological promise. But I also have a promise for a loved one that I was praying for and that God gave me when there was very little physical evidence of them coming back to faith in Jesus Christ. That, you know, when I got the promise, there wasn't much going on the surface that looked like that was going to happen. But there was a passage in the scripture that God gave me, and I hung on to that and prayed it and believed it and saw it come to pass. So that's a Bible promise for a different reason. If you want to talk about Bible promises for, you know, a church, I've got those. If you want to know about promises for healing, I have those. So it was really a different answer. And what my wife and I did that night was we had a conversation that wasn't based upon debt. It was really based upon communication because we love one another. And so I want to encourage you to have relationships that are not based upon obligation, not based upon fear, but based upon love. So it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. And so it goes on and says, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So that's really where we want to get to with our earthly relationships. And it may not even be an obligation because of a debt that's owed. Sometimes people flip that script and they say, look, I have a need. You owe it to me to meet this need. Well, you know, Jesus said this, the poor you will always have with you. And that is a different statement than what God had promised Moses before they went into the promised land. He said, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I tell you to do, then you are going to be blessed coming in and going out, and you will have plenty. There will be an abundance, and that there wouldn't be any poor. Well, by the time Jesus is walking the earth, it's quite evident that even God's covenant people were not walking in obedience. And if we don't do life the way that God tells us to because he loves us, we will not get the results. And so Jesus comes along and he said, look, there's always going to be people who are living in sin. And because there is sin, there's going to be mistreatment. There is going to be bad decisions. There's going to be people with financial obligations. And folks, our world is in a world of debt. I don't know how governments plan on resolving that issue. I'm thankful that Merit Assembly of God is debt-free. And I hope to, you know, one day be that mortgage-free person myself. I'm not there yet. I'm not in love with my mortgage company. I will celebrate when they are no longer part of my life. That's not a love relationship. So there's all of this debt that is going on. And so Jesus says, you're always going to have the poor among you. And he said, you can help them anytime you want. And so the thing is, we need to pray and we need to ask God, how would you have us to steward our resource, or your resources. And many times there are people who have tremendous need, and they look to other people and say, look, you've got to help me in this situation. And at that point in time, they've redefined the relationship to where it's not a relationship based upon love, but it's based upon an obligation. And here's what I found, that people who have relationships that are based upon debt or based upon obligation, that as soon as that situation is resolved, then the relationship itself tends to dissolve. I don't want that for your marriage. I don't want that for your relationship with your kids. I don't want those types of relationships with the church or in our community. What God really wants is for the body of Christ to build relationships that are based upon loving one another, because it fulfills or completes the law. It's the motivation for it. And so everything about the law was to get us to where, not where we're operating from the decrees that are written on a stone or written on a tablet or written on a page, but God said, I want to take the expectations I have for humanity, the people that I've put in place, I want those written on the tablets of your heart, to where you're not doing it because you have to, you're doing it because you want to. And I will tell you that the reason that God put those commandments in place is because he loves you, and he doesn't want you experiencing the pain and the trauma and the heartbreak that those forbidden activities, those things we're not supposed to do, he doesn't want those wrecking your life. And so I hope that you will understand that. Just as it talks about here, the love versus law. Let me close out with Matthew 5:17. Here it says, Jesus said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus is love personified. The things that God has written down, they're always going to be there. We need to embrace them. We need to love them, not just for ourselves, but for others. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."